All right, baby. First Corinthians this morning. How we doing? Everybody feeling all right? It's hot, but it's good. You're alive, and life is happening. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what God's doing and just who's here in his midst. You know, it's fun to build when God is in it.
Yeah.
And you want to be in where God is because it's exciting, and you get to be a part of the struggle and also the victory.
Yeah.
And there's no better place to be. You don't want to be on the sidelines. You want to be in the game.
Yeah.
So get in the game. And you may not say, I'm not good enough. Well, listen, you can get good enough.
Yeah. Amen.
You can get good enough as you get in it. A lot of times, God will ask you to get in it, and he'll give you the grace when, as you're in it.
That's right.
To do what you need to do and learn as you're in it. Most people are waiting for an invitation. I'm giving it to you today. Come on in the game and get in the game. I know there are certain positions and skill positions at your work that you're not maybe qualified for, but there's a God who can open doors for you and get you qualified.
Yeah.
And so don't be the type of person who's waiting on promotion. Put yourself in position to be promoted.
Yeah.
Do the work right now that you need to do, the skill set, whatever you need to do to get yourself in a position to be promoted. Because more often than not, God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. The work has already been done. God already has a plan laid out for your life. He's wanting to see you invest those talents that he's given you. And then you never know what's going to come of it. But at least invest it and see what's happening. Because you don't know what you're capable of. I know what you're capable of because I know who God is. God can take your little and make it much. And he's looking for someone who's available and saying, hey, listen, I'll do it. I'll do the dirty work. I'll learn what I need to learn to get where I need to get. Because I don't want to stay in this position anymore. I want to be elevated into a position of my life where I feel like I'm being a little bit more successful. And it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
It's okay to say that. Don't be the type of Christian who's like, well, God doesn't want me promoted. Well, you don't know God.
Yeah.
Because God promoted his son.
Mm-hmm.
And now his son is seated right next to him. And so even in your own life, let's get to that position and that perspective in our life where we are doing what we can to put ourselves in a position to win so that when God does present the opportunity for us, we've already been working toward it.
Yeah.
We've already been working toward it. You know, one of the things that we have to remind ourselves is this, is that let's not wait till the game starts and say, okay, I'm ready. Let's be ready a week prior before the game starts.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they come in the church, they're like, well, okay, now I'm ready to worship. You should have been ready like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
When you got up on Monday, you should have been ready and saying, okay, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And let's see what this week, and all the week is a preparation for Sunday. It's a preparation. We get to celebrate what God has done. And we are coming in and giving praise to him for what. Let's not come in and say, well, I need to get what I needed to get because I had a rough week. Now, we all had weeks that were rough and difficult, but because God was with us, it made it worth it. And when we're here, we're just coming into agreement with God that he's good, his love endures forever, that he's faithful to the end, and we can leave excited and enjoyed to know that God still has good things for me. I'm in process, I'm in work, and God is getting me to the point where I need to be. I'm not where I was, but listen, I'm closer, and I feel a lot more stronger, and I feel faith rising in my life. Don't let it be that you have to get to a place in order to get filled and free. Do the work before you get here.
Yeah.
So that when you come in, you can actually give into what's happening. As my sister Melissa is so filled in this morning because one of our worship leaders was sick, did a fantastic job. But you know what? Because her heart was already postured and ready, she could say, you know what? It may not be ideal for me to do it, but I'm going to come in and do it.
Yeah.
Because God's not looking for you to be perfect. I just want you to get in the game.
Amen.
Get in. Well, what might happen? I might get hurt. Yeah, you might. You might lose. It might not turn out so great, but at least you got in. At least you tried. And you did something. That's what God is looking for. Don't be the type of people who don't try. There are things right now that I'm learning that I never thought I would learn in my life. Because you know what? No one else is doing it. And so I said, I'm going to make myself available and a student to do it. And then, when the time is right, I'll release it over to somebody who can do it. But listen, I looked around and nobody was coming. And so I took it on myself to do it. Don't look. Be a problem solver. Be a person who brings solution in your life. And don't wait for someone else to do it. Because a lot of times, we look around, and know who's looking at you. God's looking right back at you and say, hey, brother, how you doing? Why aren't you learning? Well, I'm not gifted. Well, listen, you don't know. That gift might be in you. There are certain things that God is going to ask you to do you may not be gifted for, but God will grace you to do it. Just do it for a season. But you learn something with it, because there is no failure in God. Well, I'm not gifted with technical stuff. You can learn technical stuff. You can learn it. Well, I just can't do it. God is just looking for you. Hear me. Just to be available and to start to learn something. Years ago, when I started working in ministry, I started working in the 2 and 3 year olds nursery on Saturday nights, doing babysitting. I grew up And eventually as I grew up, I went to four and fives. As I did four and fives, I started getting hired at the church. I did carpets at the church. I knew how to wield that carpet machine. I did it real good. I made designs in the carpet. I was excited about what I did, and it looked good. I didn't want anybody to step on the carpet. I did it good. I moved in the setup. I had those rooms set up where they needed to be, straight. That's where I get my OCD when you come in here. Things are straight and where they need to be. Because years ago, that was already ingrained in me. And so I'm just bringing that into what I do now. And eventually, as God began to promote me to different things, I just learned different skill sets and different things. Don't limit yourself to, well, this is all I can do. Broaden your perspective and get your eyes on Jesus, because God can give you what you need to learn, what you need to know. Because I think some of you might be choking what God is trying to do in your life because you're limiting what you can do. And you forget that, well, it's not about what I can do, it's what God can do through me. So open up. I might learn something. You might. And that's what God is looking for. Are you willing to learn something and do something new? I want to just say hi to John Lorio. Today's in the house. John's been working out with us for a few weeks. I'm not trying to embarrass you, John. We just do that here, okay? Just wanted to say hi to you. John's a great guy, and his wife Kathy is here, and just fantastic people. And I also just want to give props to Kendall Thomas for nurturing her entrepreneurial spirit on Third Friday. Down in Safety Harbor, had a little booth out there with her mom and some friends selling home stuff. And nobody knew that she could do it. But she did it. She was out there. So sweet. And I just want to thank you for stepping out and doing something, though it might be uncomfortable. Because that's what God asked us to do. And I just appreciate that. So as we go into really 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm excited about this series because I believe it's really essential for us as a church to understand what God is doing. Not only what God is doing now, but what was God doing back then? And what was God using the apostles to help really sharpen the church with and help really get them to the position of where they can begin to grow up and mature in Christ? Because that's what Paul was doing in the book of Corinthians. He was trying to help them get to a place of maturation in Christ because they were babes, they were not mature, and they were struggling with the world, and they were struggling with culture, and they didn't know how to separate being in the world but not being of it. And culture was having a huge influence on the church. And Paul said, hold on, let's right some of these wrongs real quick. So I'm going to write this book as a dad would to his son and to his kids to help you navigate some of the problems that you're having right now so that you can actually grow up and become all that Christ has called you to become. And how many of you would say, listen, I want to become all that Christ has called me to become. And so God would say, okay, well, that involves growing up. Growing up. And just as he did with the Corinthian church, what Paul wrote back then is applicable today to us as a church. It's applicable. So let's pick it up. In chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise for the standards of this age, you should become, everybody say, fools, so that you become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. There was a big debate in the Corinthian church about who they were going to follow. Was it going to be Apollos? And Apollos was a leader who actually was trained by Priscilla and Aquila back in the New Testament. Are we going to follow Apollos? Are we going to follow Paul? And then as you go a little bit further down in Corinthians, it says, it throws in Cephas or Peter. Are we going to follow these three people? And Paul said, hold on, listen. Did any of these guys die for you? No, they didn't. And so let's get this straight off the bat. Let's understand first and foremost that you have to understand that we have to follow the leader. And this is the leader, all in caps. The leader is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation that all this is resting on. And so we're not following men. We are following Jesus. He is the one who birthed the church. And so he is the one that we have to look at. He is the one that our affections have to be on. He is the one that we have to find wisdom and truth in. He is the one who's going to lead us to where we need to go. And so stop following these other leaders, these mere men, because they didn't die for you. They didn't baptize you. They didn't do what was necessary for you to come to salvation. They were leaders and God used them, but they are not the focal point of history. They're not the focal point of the church. It is Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ who knocked me off my horse and got me into a position where I was blinded, but now I see. This is a Jesus that we're supposed to be following right now. We're following the leader. And so let's all get in suit and say it together. Not you, but to the church. Follow the leader. I could see Paul doing that to them. Because they were like little babes. Little babes. And so for us to come into an understanding, first and foremost, that Paul talks about the wisdom of this world being foolish. And so in order for us to really follow the leader and for us to get into a position where we count ourselves wise, Paul is saying, listen, you have to become stupid in your own eyes. Because if you really want to understand how the wisdom of God works, you're not going to be able to do it by applying it to the way the world works when it comes to wisdom. Because when God does things, he does it totally opposite. Because if you remember your calling, not many of you were noble, not many of you came from backgrounds that were very affluent. Maybe Paul was writing this and saying, a lot of you God took from very difficult circumstances, circumstances that we don't like to talk about, and turned your life around and brought you into a place today so that you can boast on Jesus Christ. You can't boast on your efforts because you're here today because of him. And so when you talk about leadership and you're talking about following someone, you have to follow Jesus. It cannot be any of these three guys. They didn't do what Jesus Christ did for you. So let's get that right off the bat. And then the second thing he said is that we got to stop comparing. We got to stop comparing. It doesn't matter to me who Apollos was. It doesn't matter to me. I am Paul. Yes, I am. And I love Peter. But the fact of the matter is that don't compare with what someone gives you as opposed to what someone else is giving you. He's saying, listen, understand that comparison is a trap. And that if you can understand that your worth is in Jesus Christ, you'll stop comparing all these people. And you know what I'm talking about, because when you're young, and especially when we're young and we're growing up, we like a lot of people around us. And what are some of the first things that we do as we come up into adolescence? And my girls do this right now. They begin to compare themselves to other people and say, Mommy, do I look like them? Mommy, am I pretty? Mommy, do I have what it takes? And it's your job to help bring them up in the ways of the Lord so that they can understand what real identity is in Christ, and so that they can understand that beauty is not found in the skin or the outward appearance, but it's found in the inward parts of who they are and in their heart, and so that they can understand that they're loved and accepted by Jesus Christ for who they are, not for what their body can give. And so as they begin to grow up in that, dads especially, that you're responsibility is to help them feel loved and accepted so that when a man or a woman comes into their life, they don't give themselves away just frivolously, just because they find no worth in themselves, but they understand their worth so much that they check with you first. Or they're so loved first that they don't turn to the things that they don't need to turn to for validation because they're healed.
That's right. Yeah, that's good.
They're accepted. They understand who they are. And most of you would say here, if I had a parent or parents who were like that, I probably could have avoided some things in my life, some hurtful experiences in my life that I did not have to go through. But now that I'm on the other side of it, I can see now how God's grace was sufficient, and I learned what I needed to learn, and now I'm a totally different person. But now it's my responsibility to really help the younger generation and those following me to understand, hey, listen, don't compare yourself. Don't throw yourself at other people just because they give you a compliment or they give you something. Don't do it. Because how many of us have taken the bait too quick? Someone says something to you or someone gives you a look and all of a sudden you gravitate toward them because you're so starved for attention, and all of a sudden you move into a position that you don't need to be in your life. You know, you talk about Eve and we talk about Adam a lot, but really, if they knew their worth and who they were, they could have listened to what the serpent was saying and said, I hear what you're saying, but turn this way and say, my relationship with God is more important than giving into something that's just going to be temporal. Mm-hmm. And how many of us have really forfeited progress in our relationship with God because of something maybe that was temporal or satisfying at the moment, but we ended up paying for it for a long time? Their sin caused the fall of man, and we're still paying for it. Jesus came in and paid for it all, and we're working back in reverse. But how many of us still struggle? How many of us still deal with things in our life from our childhood? We still deal with wrong habits or patterns or thought processes. And God is coming, and He's working in our life to reverse all of that so that we can understand our worth and understand that we're accepted, so that we don't have to turn anymore to an apple or a fruit that looks good. We don't have to turn anymore to a person or a people who we think are going to validate us. We're turning to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who we love and who knows accepts us. And so that doesn't work anymore. See, the more you get healed and the more God really begins to come into your life and do a work, the less and less you gravitate to the things that trap you or trip you.
Right.
Especially when people speak into your life, or leaders or people that come into your life, you're not so trapped by words that tickle your ears or compliments or things that really get you to the point of where you feel like, man, I really could do something in that relationship with that person. You really begin to understand, hold on, my worth is too much. And I'm not just going to take a step in a direction I don't need to go. I'm really going to stay where I feel like God has called me to be in that love relationship with Him, because I know what this looks like. I know what the trap looks like. I know what the scheme looks like. There's a danger in Christianity today that if we're not careful, we can really block out the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, or really block out what God is trying to do in the church because of celebrity types. And we have to be careful. We've got to be careful, because there are some great preachers that I love. There are some great people that I love to listen to, and there's some great preachers who are doing great things. But we have to understand, first and foremost, glean, get seed, but understand, bring that seed back to the Lord. Help God navigate where that needs to go in your life, so that you don't get tossed to and fro, or you don't misplace your emotion in a wrong direction and begin to start following something that God never calls you to follow, but you fix your eyes on Jesus and understand that's where it needs to be. But God has raised up these people for this time and this generation, and there are voices in this nation right now who are doing fantastic things, and they are leading people, and God is doing great. But what Paul is saying, hey, listen, don't get swayed. Don't get swayed. Follow the leader. How many of you know people in your life right now, you would say, man, that person, they're steady. They're just steady. Four people know steady people. You need to get around some other people right now that, please, see me later. See me. I got some people you can probably like get around a little bit. We're just steady. Just steady. Because while people might have good intentions, Paul is saying, hey, listen, follow the leader. Stop comparing people with other people. How many have some people right now you love hanging around with? And you're like, just love hanging around with. Man, love hanging around with your family, whatever it is. But also know that at the end of the day, your relationship with God is the most important thing. How many of you can look back over your life and see some of the things that God has helped you avoid, or traps that God has helped you not step in your life because of the good, of how good He was? It looked good, but God said it's not good. It looked good. And so even in your own life, use those examples to be able to help navigate you even now in your life, so that as you come up to situations, that you really operate in the discernment of the Holy Spirit as to what you get involved with and what you don't get involved with. Because there are some things that the enemy is going to come in, and he's going to prey on your vulnerability, and he's going to prey on what you most need in your life. And then once that happens, if you're not careful, that will pull you into, could be a destructive relationship, or it could pull you into a journey, or could pull you into a road in your life that God never called you to walk on in your life. Never called you to walk on. And we've always talked about this, because the children of Israel were great, and God called them to come into the promised land. But we talk about when they begin to walk around in the wilderness, and that trip is only supposed to be like 11 days. How many of you have been walking around a mountain, or been walking around a situation in your life where you're like, man, it's a long time. And I think God would say, listen, you're only supposed to be in this thing like 2 days. But you're still dealing with stuff from back then that I've already freed you from. Mm-hmm.